Again, if you're just joining us, don't worry about being late. That's all right. We weren't doing anything important until now. As I was mentioning a little earlier, and which if you weren't listening, you didn't hear, there was a little Faye Dodoa a couple of months ago. It was the 10th anniversary, of the TSA. Yes, the lovable, warm, cuddly, friendly TSA. Oh, yes, the Transportation Security Administration. We love those guys. That's right. Well, there's a whole airport full of people who love those guys. And true to true to expectation, true to word and everything else, my friend Jim Bovard cranked out a celebratory piece that appeared in former guest Jacob Hornberger's Future of Freedom Foundation magazine, TSA 10th Anniversary of a National Nightmare. That Jim Bovard, he's such a comic. But this is, this is right down his alley, and he bowls a strike on this one. Yes, he does. So I think, well, you know, we were talking about his piece in the Wall Street Journal last week, and I found this thing. I said, damn it, I meant to do this, have Jim come on and talk about this. So since the TSA is still with us, and we're going to have to put up with them ad infinitum, possibly to their silver anniversary, I thought, well, let's get Jim on here and kick around some of those cute old folksy tales that have already infested the TSA. James, welcome back to the show, sir.
Hey, Brian, thanks for having me on.
Oh, the TSA, haven't we had a lot of good laughs courtesy of those guys?
Well, yeah, but, you know, I'm afraid I've got to take back some of my criticism because I just saw in the news that they finally caught one terrorist.
Get out of here.
Yep, there was a news report that up there in New York, Henry Kissinger was going through and he got pulled over for a pat down.
Good point. Excellent. Boy, it's amazing that guy's been out there running around as long as he has.
That's the kind of thing that almost makes you lose faith in war crimes prosecutions.
You know, you're right. But as long as I've got the complete writings of James Bovard here in my little library, I know that I can always go back and revive my faith, no matter how it gets set by these events. I think it's great. You know, do you in the process of researching and writing this thing that you did, was there any indication that the TSA has, you know, other than their recent capturing of Comrade Kissinger, that they've done anything other than make off with people's jewelry and toothpaste and terrorize little children and grandmothers and screw around with breast milk and traveling executives and people with prosthetics?
Something that they have done is a faster job of is putting out the emphatic denials when they got for scandals, when they get caught stealing stuff or breaking the law. It's interesting, going back, I guess, oh my God, to 2004, there was an epidemic of thieving going on then, not to say it stopped, but there were like 15,000 cases where the folks have complained about their TSA people stealing stuff from their baggage. And I wrote a story on that, and it was all set to go at one large paper, and all of a sudden, I think that they may have checked the TSA to make sure it's okay. And then at the last minute, after it had been accepted, after it had been edited, they called and said, no, the story doesn't work for us anymore. And I'm thinking, what a load of crap. But however, for once, that had a happy ending because I flipped the story to the New York Times, and the New York Times ran the piece.
All right.
And it was funny because at that time, the TSA was emphatically denying there was a problem. A few weeks later, TSA made a national class action settlement to the people it had robbed.
Well, that is exciting. Of course, now I'd just be curious. I mean, where did the TSA get the money to pay that?
I assume it's from that change that people have to drop in the bucket when they go through.
Well, I know they got one piece of jewelry from Ann Coulter, so that probably was worth something.
There you go. Yeah. It was probably high end, knowing anyhow.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I think it was a 30 caliber round that was put on a gold chain. It was a gift from the National Rifle Association.
Oh, that's neat.
I forget where she was going, but they saw it and it disappeared. and she raised holy hell, and it never happened. But as you point out in your 10th anniversary piece, that kind of stuff was pretty junior varsity stuff compared to some of the things they've been getting away with these days.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's like a national ink blot test as far as how the nation has responded to TSA. I'm glad to see there's been more criticism, but the flip side is it's amazing how much BS people will tolerate and how much personal abuse, how much squeezing of boobs and balls people put up with.
Yeah, and the molesting of little kids. I mean, there was that thing down in, where was it, Texas, JetBlue here just a couple of weeks ago. This kid was like 2 years old, 18 months old, and she was on a no-fly list, and they went in there and grabbed her and her parents and hauled her off and held them for about 30 minutes out in the middle of everything as people pointed and snarked and everything else. Then they said, no, guess not. And then just walked away. It was pretty fascinating. Not to mention the things that they've done to other little kids and grandmothers and so on. There was a story the other day about a guy who was a diabetic, and they patted him down so enthusiastically they broke a $10,000 piece of equipment.
Yeah, good luck to that guy in getting compensation. But however, since this has shown up in the news, it might be that TSA will find it in its self-interest to pony up on this or at least do something. But, I mean, a fundamental problem here is that this agency has so much power, and they're always and they've continually given themselves more power. For instance, one thing they did when they were 1 or 2 years old was create a new system of fines for people's attitude. So that if someone was passing through a TSA checkpoint and someone felt they had a bad attitude or the person spoke back, the person could be fined up to $1,500.
Well, that was a Texas congressman that smacked away the hand of one of these guys because he was getting a little bit too friendly with his groin, uh-huh. and that caused a swarm of the, well, we've watched the video on it, of agents to all descend on them. Of course, he was a congressman, so he's more equal than the rest of us, and he got special treatment, just like Rand Paul and some of the other congressmen who've gotten caught up in all this business. But to a certain amount is to be expected. You also write about the squandering of taxpayer dollars in other areas. And this goes back. I remember, I think you and I talked about this for the first time back when TSA came into existence. I was on a KSFO in San Francisco, and up at the Oakland airport, they were going through. So they were hiring felons, people right out of prison, child molesters, things like that, because they had no screening. They had no screening for the screeners.
Yeah, I mean, and it was interesting. If memory serves, the San Francisco airport was one of the few in the country that was allowed to use private screeners as opposed to most of them using government screeners.
Right.
And in late 2003, I was going through the San Francisco airport, and I was shocked. It was so easy. It was so pleasant. It was a breeze. And, but the whole mindset of TSA is to dominate, intimidate, and control. And that was the actual motto of the TSA air marshals for a while. And that's how they treat average Americans, and it's systemic degradation, and it's intentional. It's almost as if having your nose rubbed in the dirt is going to make us all safe.
When you take this a little bit farther, once you get past your outrage and all the rest about this, the instantly produced self-serving excuse explanation when anyone makes a registers a formal complaint, you can just about have it memorized. We've reviewed the tape of the incident, and our agents acted in harmony with current standards and practices. And they did nothing wrong. Blah blah blah.
Yeah, which by amazing coincidence is the same thing the FBI said after Ruby Ridge.
that is interesting. That's very interesting. But the even more interesting part, I think, is that after you read pieces like yours and you see all these remarkably, as you point out, profoundly irresponsible and dishonest things the TSA has done, rather than making Americans safe from terrorists, it's made them prey to federal agents. And you have to ask the question. Now, this was just recently taken up by Rand Paul, as I mentioned earlier. He's now now actually have a, has a an effort, a legislative effort underway to try and get rid of the TSA. But the it's taken, like you pointed out, I mean, obviously this is 10 years that there's been this gradually this gradual encroachment on our person, our property, our freedoms, and everything else. I will not fly. I have not flown since probably since San Francisco when all of this this X-raying and stuff started, because I didn't want to glow in the dark, and I sure as hell didn't want my Fourth Amendment protections to be shredded. I don't know how this is affecting the rest of the airline industry, not just because I'm not flying, but I'm sure there are other, Walter Williams will not fly for the same reasons and all the rest. But do you have any thoughts on how and why it is that neither Congress, I can understand the Pelosi, Reid, Obama cabal, but how is it that with all of this yelling and screaming and outrage, that Congress hasn't done anything about this?
Well, I mean, it'd be kind of a novelty if Congressman gave a damn about Americans' rights and liberties being trampled.
I mean, yeah, you're right.
And I'm serious on that, because
no, I understand.
You know, I mean, it's not like it's not like the flying public is writing checks to congressmen specifically for the reason to have TSA put on a leash. If they were doing that, and if there was a huge amount of money coming in, like if there was a TSA lobby, anti-TSA lobby that was throwing millions of dollars in the pot, yeah, something might happen. But and a number of congressmen have come out and said that the answer to their problem is to have special treatment for congressmen so that the congressmen don't get roughed up like this, which is helps restore my faith in the rule of law.
Yeah, on that note, you know, there was a piece out that I read just recently by Paul Craig Roberts about the business of terrorists, in the sense that, and I got to thinking about this, you know, there was and now the guy's name just threw out of my head, the guy who wrote the book that the Muslims got all upset about, and they put a hit out on him over in London.
Salman Rushdie.
Okay. And then there was the all the cartoonists in the Scandinavian countries that did the kind of hot water over those cartoons about Mohammed and blah, blah, blah. So now you got this guy Rodriguez out, you know, basically bragging about how he waterboarded all of these Muslim terrorists. And you got Dick Cheney walking around, and you've got what's his name, who acknowledged that he wrote the legal permission slip for water. Yeah, him. And but here's the thing. It was an interesting point, regardless of what anyone's opinion may be on Paul Craig Roberts, is that these guys are walking around. They don't have massive protection from the Secret Service. They don't hide their faces and all the rest. But the SEAL team that allegedly offed Osama bin Laden, they couldn't be shown, and ultimately they had a rather unfortunate experience, you know, with a helicopter over there. But where are all these terrorists? Where are these people that are out to get us? If they're going to sit there and take out a hit on Salman Rushdie for writing an interesting bit of fiction, but now here's Cheney and these other people walking around without a whole lot of protection. What about that? I mean, it brought an interesting point. If terrorists are so upset about these types of things, how difficult would it be for them to? Why, for example, in specifically your TSA piece, rather than sit there and try and smuggle a bomb in somebody's underpants or whatever to get on board an airplane, why not just stand outside the TSA checkpoint area and pop some big sucker out there? You know, you can walk right into the damn airport, you can have all the dynamite you want wrapped around yourself and go boom. How devastating would that be, not only to the loss of life, but the morale of people flying on airplanes?
Well, there are so many different reasons why the current security system is absurd. And, it's absurd if the purpose is to make flying safe. I mean, it makes good sense if the purpose is to get people in the habit of groveling at the feet of federal agents, which is what it does, and to have all this arbitrary power and this degradation. Because I've had a number of clashes with TSA agents, and I haven't gotten arrested yet, but it could happen.
I'm glad you said yet. It gives me something to do with this bail money I've set aside for you. But the
thanks. I might need it.
but that's absolutely true. That's absolutely true. And to what end, Jim? I mean, you know, we have a lot of fun skewering a lot of these things in the cynicism that part and parcel of one of the wonders of our relationship. I wonder where's all this going? Okay, you got me. I'm groveling. I got to get on the plane. I want to go out to Las Vegas. I want to see some friends of mine. Okay, go ahead. Feel me up. Put your hands down my pants. All the rest of that business, I'll give it up for you. You know, what's the takeaway from this?
It doesn't make sense as far as airline security. Perhaps there's a larger purpose as far as training people to, be servile towards the government. I would love to see some of the internal memos, which I think the TSA has a poor record on complying with Freedom Information Act requests, like most federal agencies after 9/11 and before. But I would love to see some of the internal discussion there about how to, demonize their critics and folks who complain about this abuse and that abuse. Because I'm sure there's a lot of good stuff in their files that if we saw it, people would be three times as mad.
Well, dominate, intimidate, and control will light the fuse for most people right there.
Well, it should, but I think there's been a vast amount of stuff after that, and there has been a lot of intentional misrepresentation, as well as efforts to slam its critics, people who have gotten abused and then spoke about in public, or even worse things.
Is there a not-so-invisible Kevlar shield that surrounds TSA? So if Annie wants to try and recoup her lost jewelry, or like the gentleman
sovereign immunity is what we're talking here. This is the Kevlar shield. I mean, because otherwise it'd be possible to have people sue them in court for the damage they inflicted or the stuff they stole. But if you're trying to sue the federal government, that's kind of I will not make any rude analogies, but it's almost impossible because the government controls the courts, the government controls procedures, and often if you're going against a federal agency, you first have to go through their administrative law procedure, their administrative law judges, which is an oxymoron, and that can take 2 or 3 years and X number of $1,000s. There are so many different ways the deck is stacked against the average American, which is part of the reason why to simply create this huge federal agency guarantees that our rights and liberties will be violated.
No doubt, more so than it is now. Just reading this morning how the TSA is working in Tennessee and Texas and along some highways and byways, and what plans they have for train stations and bus stations and everything else.
This highway stuff is bizarre. But again, here is an agency that is seeking a purpose and a mission. So it's continually expanding the potential list of enemies and coming up with one new BS justification after another to intrude into more people's lives. And it's an acid test for how many Americans still care about freedom, how much of a pushback there is against these folks.
Yeah, I'm not getting the sense. I get the sense it's more like what Walter and I. We just don't fly, But to get in the face of any of these people invites severe pain and bruising and possible incarceration and everything else. Certainly, isolation at the airport, which has been pretty much part and parcel of what they do if anybody raises a stink. But I can't wait to see what you write on the 15th anniversary. This is going to be just exciting.
I had not even thought about that. Having a good Tuesday afternoon, and then like 15th anniversary. My God. Well, maybe all the problems will be fixed, and in Joe Biden's first term, we can say thank God for the Democratic leadership.
That's true. That's right. I forgot about the proms, but I know that you've got a lot of writing assignments that you've imposed upon yourself. I just want to make sure to get that one on the list so the 15th doesn't come and
go. I have something to live for.
Yeah, something like that. Well, James, thanks. Thanks for the piece. I'm sorry I didn't catch it. Back when I had a dog-eared in February. But then again, like the gift that keeps on giving, the TSA has given us more points of reference in those few short months in between to be able to talk about here this afternoon.
Thank God they nailed Kissinger.
Boy, ain't that that is true. I'm gonna have to pop the top on some of that screaming bitch to be able to have some of that this afternoon.
Raging bitch, raging bitch. Just
raging. Okay, well, you can see I'm still not a connoisseur of beer, but working on it. Jim, thanks so much for your time. Always appreciate your presence here on the show.
Hey, thanks a lot, Brian.
You bet. Jim Bovard, author of Attention Deficit Democracy, and he's got another one in the works right now. We'll talk about that sometime soon.